a mountain and we can dig into it and find treasures. Because as you know, the Bible contains war stories and terrible, indecent stories, and it contains rules that could tangle us up and bind us up. But we look for Jesus in the Word of God. And so for me, often Romy feels like a freight train going into that mountain, and she comes out with nuggets. You know, and so the song she sings, it reminds me on that a lot. So, Romy, would you want to come up, and I'll give you this wonderful gadget. And there's no copyright to that song, so it can be online. And here, Gail wants to hear too. Good, thank you.
You know, I want to share this song with you because it says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and make music to the Lord in your heart. And Danny asked me to do so. The Father sings with joy over me. Jesus always believes in me. The Spirit fills and strengthens me. Oh, how blessed I am when my eyes go to the mountain in front of me. I seem to be overwhelmed with fear as I take off my eyes from the living God. Every road seems to have a dead end. There are times when all around me trouble seems to be. The enemy bombards me with negativity. Life is overwhelming, too heavy to bear, and all spirals down. But in my trouble, I cry to heaven. He hears and rescues me. Jesus opens my eyes to the truth that sets me free, and he gives me a strategy. The Father sings with joy over me. Jesus always believes in me. The Spirit fills and strengthens me. Oh, how blessed I am. Now I learn to agree with heaven's plan for me, taking captive every thought so it agrees with him, to worship and praise in adversity. And every time I see the enemy flee, I learn to be thankful in every circumstance, understanding Jesus died and paid for me. It gives me joy and peace to know his loyalty, and I can trust him to the very end. The Father sings with joy over me. Jesus always believes in me. The Spirit fills and strengthens me. Oh, how blessed I am. Oh, how blessed I am.
Thank you, Romy. Yeah, it's good to have an obedient wife. You know, before we go to our main text, the Bible is that mountain, right? And instruction, wisdom, and knowledge we find in it, and the promises of God that give hope. And as we meditate on it, and go over and over again the nuggets we find, the truth we find in the Word of God, faith comes, and by faith we can overcome every obstacle. And so today's text will be in Matthew 1, 18 to 25. So if you want to go in your Bible, and we have here the New Living Translation, I believe. So thank you, Jude. I read it first through the whole thing. So this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, While she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You know, Joseph and Mary, like the whole nation of Judah, maybe I didn't finish it, but that's okay. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for years and years, prophecies been made. And they were longing for this Savior, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace to come. Do we have the next clip with all the names?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe let's bring that up. So for them, the Messiah, they expected him to be a deliverer, a healer, a redeemer, a savior, a provider, Prince of Peace, protector, and the one who restores. And right now, the whole nation of Israel is in bondage. To the Romans, they're in bondage to another nation that rules over them. And they are waiting for this Messiah to come. And I just like that story, you know, because when the Messiah eventually comes, it's totally different than they expected it. And so I like to put that, we put ourselves into that place where Joseph was. A place where he had dreams of this, he loved Mary. He was engaged to her, he looked forward for the wedding. He looked forward to make his father and mother proud and have this family started and have children and provide for them. And then suddenly, Mary is pregnant from who knows who. And you know, he was an honest man. He wanted to do everything right? And so the situation suddenly from being hopeful and everything going good and being expectant suddenly turns to like, what now? It's turning out to come totally different than they expected. And so we I like that we put ourselves into that situation and look at that as a metaphor, like getting pregnant before the wedding. For that culture, that was a terrible thing. It was a stigma. It was, and I believe, I wonder, why God did you do it that way? But I believe God did not want to spare Jesus any stigmas. Because he needed to identify to all of us. But here in this story for us, we are waiting for a Prince of Peace, maybe. We are waiting for a deliverer, for a savior, a provider. Maybe you're tied in your finances. You don't know how it moves on. Maybe you're attacked with some sicknesses and you need that healer, you need that deliverer. Maybe you're struggling with addiction or depression or relationships, whatever it is. Maybe you're believing for your children to come and follow the Lord. And so you have this hope of the Redeemer to come through. You have this expectancy, you know, of revival maybe to come, right? And so you expect the Redeemer to show up, the Deliverer. And much like them, we are waiting for a heavenly kingdom reality to change our earthly experience. But then it comes different. We want to get out of bondage and then, you know, maybe it was good for a while. Maybe it went okay and now it seems even harder. Maybe we feel backslidden. Maybe we feel like we're stuck again, right? Our hopes and dreams have not fulfilled. Maybe we are affected with habits, addiction, and so on and so forth. But in our trouble, I like what Romy sang, you know, in her trouble, she calls on to the Lord. And in the Psalms, when you read the Psalms, again and again, you see the Psalm writers, how they are in trouble, they feel overwhelmed, they feel in, and, but then I come to the Lord, and I called on you, and you answered. And you know, I often remind myself, I'm going to call on God and he will answer. He promised to answer. He may not answer our way. He may not answer in our timing. We may feel pregnant before the wedding, but he promised to answer. And so as we continue to trust him, he will show up. Sometimes you struggle, and you maybe gave up. Maybe at one time your hope was high that your answered prayer, that the children will come home, that the things, you know, and I just feel how can we be encouraged to not give up? Because the temptation is so strong, like that we just quit and think, okay, I just live with what I have. But I sense this morning that God wants to give new hope, that God wants to give us new faith, new courage, that we go into that mountain, the Word of God, and find those promises, and find those nuggets, find Jesus, and allow those promises, allow the power of the Word of God to change our life. You know, like Joseph, often we feel like getting up in the middle of the night when it's hard and tough and it's the hardest, and we want to run, and we want to hide, and then God sends a messenger, an angel. And so to us, he maybe doesn't send an angel, but he sends maybe somebody that encourages you. He maybe uses the preacher or even the MC announcing something, or the worship leader, or people you meet on the road, and he speaks into our life. And you know, that's the key. I really believe it, that when we hear God speak to us, that we take it serious. You know, that we are not just, oh, okay, yeah, I think he spoke to me, and then we forget it again. When he speaks, write it down, meditate on it. When you see a promise in the Word of God, when you see something that speaks to your situation, don't take it lightly. Lock onto it, latch onto it, and no matter how it feels, no matter how, you know, I felt like years ago, I felt often pregnant before the wedding. I got some promises and some visions, and I felt God show me, and for years I felt so out of place. I felt it's just so far-fetched, it's never going to happen, right? But I think it's so important that we hold on to the heavenly vision, Paul calls it. That we hold on to what he put in our heart when we were a boy or a girl, you know? That we hold on to our dream, and that we allow God to bring it about. It's not over yet. The best is yet to come. And sometimes we don't understand it. Like David, he had this dream of building a temple for God. And eventually God says, no, I don't allow you to build it. But you know what? He gathered all the wood and gold and silver and metal to build the temple for Solomon. And so those visions may happen different than you expect. So keep declaring the word. Keep believing God for what he promised. And keep pushing in. You know, sometimes I feel myself in a place feeling like everyone around me thinks, I thought you trusted God. In one of the Psalms it says that people looked at him, I thought he trusted God, right? You know, when before Ron died, Ruth's son, we prayed for a miracle. We believed for a miracle, you know, and we hoped for a miracle, and nothing happened, right? But he's in heaven. He's healed for all eternity. We believe like that it will not always stay that way, because God tells us to ask that his kingdom would come, that as it is in heaven, so shall it be here on earth. And so we still declare that tumors need to shrink, that cancer needs to go away, that MS has to stop. We still pray for healing, right? And I believe the time will come when we will see the kingdom of heaven penetrate our life in such a way that as it is in heaven, it will be here. You know, in heaven, there is no sickness. All the tears are wiped away. I would like the next verse, and the writer of Hebrews 6, 11, 12. The writer of Hebrews encourages us here. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and their endurance. And there he says that we shall not become spiritually dull. And the goal is to inherit what God promised. You know, in Psalm 91, some translation says, your faithful promise is my shield and buckler. The word of God, the promise of God. And so we want to receive the promise. And why do I always talk about the promise? Why? Because it feels like no matter what I want to preach on, right? It's kind of today is the candle of peace. And I know if I don't lock into God's promise for my life, I will have no peace. And so if I want to have peace, I need to latch on to the promise. What is the promise? And I thought about it. You know, in the beginning was the word. Let's read John 1:1-4 and then talk about that. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, the word, Jesus. And nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So if you want to have peace, if you want to have light, the word, Jesus, is the promise. See, when God spoke, just imagine it was dark and void, and it says in the beginning, Genesis 1, darkness covered the whole earth. And the Spirit hovered over the water, nothing happened. The Spirit was there, God was there, nothing happened. And then God spoke. And I just see like Jesus coming out and light appeared and creation started to take place. And you know, when God speaks a promise and you receive that promise, you're receiving Jesus. And when you hold on to that promise, you're holding on to Jesus. And you know, the word of God is active and sharp, sharper than a double-edged sword, full of power and penetrating, separating between bone and marrow. You know, for example, God is your provider, right? Some people, they don't want to pray for lots of finances. Lord, give me lots of money. I pray that sometimes because I see a great need. I love to support the missionaries in Africa that feed the poor in the slums, and I love to see the gospel preached in Muslim countries. So I say, God, give me more money, right? But see, the word of God, as I hold on to the promise, it will separate those greedy desires that want to cause me to use the finances to consume them on my own lust. It purifies me as I bring 10% of my income into the church, you know, so we can spread the gospel, right? It purifies me. And so the word of God will purify us. It's powerful. It's strong. And as we receive the promise, Jesus is the promise. That's why when you go into the Bible, look for the promise. Look for Jesus. Look for a revelation of the kingdom of God. Because even in the Galatians, Paul points at them and says, you know, like they knew the scriptures, a lot of them were Jews. And very quickly they fell back into the law, into rules and regulations, right? And he says, who has bewitched you? Who has messed with your mind? You don't understand that in the Bible you're not looking for rules and regulations. You're looking for the guy who wrote the book. Jesus, you're looking for the promises. The gold is in the mountain, and the promises are the gold. That's what Rome is looking for, and that's what she as a train brings out of the mountain. I love it. Now I want to go to the best promise ever made, the very best. Romans 10:13. Everyone. Is anybody here? Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's so amazing. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. And so what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? We need to know his name. What's his name? Would you have the first slide again? Not the second, you know, with the names, the Messiah and so on and so forth. Messiah, Deliverer, Healer, Redeemer, Savior, Provider, Prince of Peace, Protector, the one who restores. There's a lot more. There's many names that God has. See, if I know Abraham, my friend, he's a plumber. I know his name. I know he's a plumber. If I have a problem, I call him. He will fix my plumbing. But for electrician, I call somebody else, right? But Jesus, he is it all. No matter what your needs are. And he wants to satisfy your heart's desire. He wants to meet your need. He doesn't want you barely get by. He doesn't want you crippled and sick. He wants to help us. But in my trouble, I call on to the Lord, and he answers me. You know, the word saved in the New Testament, they used was sozo. And I Googled, I looked in the concordance what sozo actually means. And it says three things it's mostly used: to save from certain death, to be healed, and eternal salvation. And somehow we feel in the Christian church for decades, generations, it has been only used for eternal salvation, which is good, which it is the most important thing. But salvation starts now. So whatever you need is, call out to God. Call out to him and expect him to answer. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that we call on him together. That we remember he's the deliverer, the provider, the strengthener. You know, if a loved one is not following the Lord, if somebody is in bondage that you know, maybe just take your hand and just picture them in your hand. And then together we're going to pray. You lay your hands on that situation. And you say, Lord, I call on your name as a deliverer. If it's somebody you know that's struggling with sickness, or your own, you may have something, put your hands on that thing, or put that person on that thing. Lord, I call on your name as a healer. Let's do this. If that's who he is, let's invite him in. If you need finances in money, and you know there's some preachers, they make those schemes like, yo, just give a lot of money to me and you will get a hundredfold, right? I'm not trying that because Mark wouldn't allow it. So. No, but you know, no schemes, right? It's not about getting quick rich. It's about fulfilling the call God has on our lives. And helping others to fulfill what God, the call God has put on their lives, right? And so if you're strapped financially, why not say, God, you know what? My God, I'm struggling financially. Could you somehow make a way where there seems to be no way? If you have an issue, a core issue, difficult in the relationship, put that in your hand and say, God, could you make a way where there seems to be no way? And put that in. So let's just do that together. Can you just all think of something? Let's put it in our hands. And Father God, you know every heart in here. You know every need, Lord. And you are a God who loves his children. You gave your life to bring life. And so Father God, I pray that this little act of faith, it seems simple and foolish in a way, Lord, that you would just reach into the people's heart. That you would reach into people's situation. Father God, that you would answer the longing in our hearts to be free from bondage, to have the Messiah, the Deliverer, come and bring us into a place of destiny, bring us into the place where you want us to be. So I just invite you, Holy Spirit, just touch those situations. Just bring healing, Lord. Bring deliverance. Bring an awakening, Father. Bring the loved ones home, Father. Those who are refusing to listen to your voice, Father. Just touch their heart and bring them in. Our children, we are praying for years, Father. And maybe we have given up. Maybe we have not have it enthusiasm anymore in our prayers. Just quicken that again and bring those children in. Bring them home, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive a miracle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I just thank you for acting this out with me. You know, your life can be consumed, and this is the last statement I want to meditate on. It can be consumed by you giving yourself to the kingdom of God. And I really believe that's the way God wants us to live, that our life is consumed in a healthy way. And like the burning bush in the desert, you don't have to be afraid. If you do it in God's way, you will not be consumed. The burning bush that Moses saw was not consumed. And you can be consumed by giving yourself to the kingdom of God, or you can be consumed by protecting your own life. And the choice is ours. And I believe some of us, we are consumed by just keeping ourselves alive, by just keeping whatever we have together. It's just consuming us to just stay healthy. We run to the doctor, we do this, we do that. You know, nothing wrong with it. But I believe God wants to move us into a place where we can be consumed by giving ourselves to the kingdom of God. And so just as you go home, take the Bible, take the mountain, go into that mountain and find the gold. And allow yourself to become a flame of fire that God will breathe on you and that you're consumed, serving the kingdom. And then everything else, Jesus promised, He will add to you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you.